Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pam Mosby, platform assistant for today.
Yeah, we're with the Unity Center of Light here in Bowie, Maryland, and it is our pleasure to bring you this service today. And we always like to start off by thanking you so much for your abundance of blessings that you keep sending us in terms of donations. This is really, really, really a blessing during these very interesting times. So we will start by letting Pamela. That's what
the daily promise. Good morning and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm Unity Center of Light's mission and foundation statements. Let's affirm the mission statement together. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm the foundation statement together. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the good, omnipotent. Amen. And now we will have the daily word reading for today, Sunday, June the 7th. The key word is joy. And the affirmation is, joy is my constant companion. I discover reasons to feel joyful every day, even in the most challenging circumstances. I begin by centering my awareness on the Christ, the divine presence within. I feel love and peace lift my heart, and possibilities for good fill my thoughts. I am joyous. I may experience joy as exuberance, delight, and wonder. Joy may also come quietly as the peaceful assurance of God's presence wherever I am and whatever I'm doing. My awareness of joy brings a glow to even the most ordinary day. As I engage wholeheartedly in all that is mine to do today, I share my joy with everyone through kind words, a sunny smile, and a warm welcome to everyone I meet. I radiate joy and bless the world with my positivity, happiness, and bliss. And the scripture is Psalm 118:24. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Thank you, hon. So we are continuing with our topic. The theme we've been working with is expanding consciousness through prayer. And, you know, last week we extended that, really the expanding consciousness through prayer during very challenging times. And this week, of course, has been, you know, more of the same. A lot of turmoil out there, almost overriding the whole idea of COVID-19, which, you know, it's very much still in play. So we're going to talk today about what we need to do to expand our consciousness to get to a place where we can look at this whole process a little differently. So again, like I said, it's expanding consciousness through prayer, but there's a subtitle called Dare Yourself to Be Greater Than You Are Right Now. So the last few weeks we've had ministers' conferences by Zoom, you know, the ministers really talking about the whole thing of what's happening with church. You know, when we'll be able to get back into a building. You've heard me say that, you know, there are organizations that are saying not even thinking about going back into a building until May of 2021. We just got a notice from our president at the college saying, you know, fall definitely, you know, buildings will not be open. So, you know, there's a lot of that going on. But in sort of the ministers' conferences, we've been talking about that. And there was a lot of discussion about how folks were feeling about what is happening in the country, you know, not only, you know, with what is happening right now, but, you know, systematically what has been happening for a very long time. That's what the discussion was really about. So to combine, you know, a few thoughts together to summarize somewhat what we were sharing, one of the ideas that came up, and again, this is a summary of the process, is that politics and power are a cancer that are running through our society that mostly impact people of color and the aging. There was a lot of talk about that as well. And so the question that was, you know, posed is, do I know what my part is in what is happening? And a truly challenging question is, do I know what I should do next? That was the big, you know, question that was really, we were talking about. You know, that very well could be the question for which we, you know, do not yet have an answer. You know, as you've heard me say before, right now, at the level of intellect in which we are operating, we seem to try to be solving the problems at that level. And we all know that you have to move to a whole nother level of consciousness to come up with a whole new approach to some of the things that are, you know, challenging us. So, you know, in reference to that, it was mentioned by Reverend Carol Hunt, and she's the minister in Unity of Harlem. And she said she heard Greg Braden, she was looking at a great, I think in a Greg Braden workshop, and Greg Braden said that, because she was saying she was tired of hearing the word pandemic. Well, what Greg Braden said for the, you know, for the purpose of this pandemic, he said what it really is initiating a global pause, a time to shut down and reflect. So, you know, the key here is that, you know, we're saying, do we really know what the answers are? You know, do we know what it's ours to do in order to bring about significant change in, you know, in this country? And so that's sort of the thing that we want to look at. And let me just throw up a slide real quick. And it says, are we willing to commit to the prayer time required to become an open, receptive, to receive the divine guidance that will lead us to a higher level of consciousness needed to create true compassionate change? All right. So that's sort of what we're looking at. We're going to look at this particular talk today is, you know, are we willing to do what we need to do in order to get to that level? Now, if you think about it, the only way real compassionate change can happen is from folks who are committed to doing the prayer work necessary to raise ourselves to the level of awareness that can truly bring new ways of thinking and being that can eradicate the old ways and the old systems. We cannot bring about real change from the level of consciousness that has us embedded in the problem, if you can get what I'm saying. So if you're embedded in the problem emotionally, you know, with full of anxiety, fear, whatever it is, you can't come up with a real solution, a real positive solution in that sort of mind. So a statement that came out of the Unity Worldwide Ministries, they shared that, and I like this, we are essential light workers whose purpose is to we are essential light workers whose purpose here is to raise consciousness to the place where we honor the Christ within each other. So I like that idea that we are light workers. We are essential light workers. So that's what we're going to be looking at in this particular talk, is how do I become an essential light worker in a time of struggle that we're going through right now. So this is what we're going to, you know, we're going to be looking at this and trying to understand the feelings and emotions that we need to let go of that are really all about the old. And we want to let that old pass away and make room for the new. And if anyone were to ask you, what is the main purpose of Unity Center of Light? This is what I came up with. In Unity Center of Light, we investigate the nature of consciousness and the methodology taught by Jesus for awakening to who we truly are. And E.E. Cummings, he wrote, it takes courage to wake up and turn out to be who you really are meant to be. So from a spiritual perspective, that's one of the great challenges of living the prayerful life. And let me just share the idea of living the prayerful life. I know we had a whole series on that, and you know, now we're still kind of expanding on the idea. But the idea of living the prayerful life is that when we look at challenges, we have a tendency to get emotionally tied up in those challenges, and that's just naturally, you know, who we are. The prayerful life is sort of like recognizing that you're in that space and then consciously choosing to move into a prayerful place. Because as long as we're looking at the thing from our emotions, we're kind of adding to it, right? But if we can raise ourselves to a higher level of consciousness, a prayer consciousness, then we can begin to look at it in a way that when we do pray, we're not praying from fear, but we're praying from love. And so that's sort of the idea of living the prayerful life. And again, that being to realize that, you know, many of the experiences in our lives are actually designed to do just that. In other words, cause us to wake up and realize who we really are meant to be. Okay, so as we're looking at what's happening in the news and, you know, what's happening in our country, you know, the thing is to say to yourself, is this a wake-up call for me? You know, yes, it's a wake-up call for the country, and it's easy to say that because the country is the macro. But from a prayer perspective, we also want to look at the micro. Is this a wake-up call for me to wake up and realize who I am really meant to be? So Raymond Charles Baker, he said, when there is a problem, there is not something for you to do, there is something for you to become. And he also said the present universe is the kingdom of heaven, and we all need to be clear about, need to clear out our misperceptions about it until we can see that it really is. So we're living in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus actually told us that. Where is the kingdom of heaven? It is in the midst of you. It is within you. But we have to clear out our misconceptions until we can really see that that's where we are. So in a past Daily Word reading from Science of Mind magazine, it expressed, when we move from theory to action, we become our own laboratory, all right? When we move from theory to action, we become our own laboratory. Life unfolds with a natural rhythm when we awaken to that which we already are. Let me say it again. Life unfolds with a natural rhythm when we awaken to that which we already are, okay? And in a daily reading from A Course in Miracles, it's called A Daily Dose of Reality, we read, and let me just throw up a slide. It says, lying deep within the awareness of our human mind is a doorway to the fulfillment. Oh, it's all right, sweetie. You can just go back one. Yeah, go back here. Yep, that's it. Okay. All right, so let me just say that again. So lying deep within the awareness of our human mind is a doorway to the fulfillment of our yearning for the realization of our own perfection. Okay? Now, past the tapestry woven by the illusions, limitations of space and time, the discovery of the infinite reaches universal mind. So that's the tapestry that we've woven that create these misconceptions, these illusionary limitations about what we're capable of doing. But once you get past that, then you could get the invitation of the great experiment. Okay, so now, you know, the great experiment is what we must become willing to let go, where we become willing to let go of our present state of mind so as to become available for greater awareness. So the great experiment. Now, so here's another way of looking at what we're going through right now. This is the great experiment, okay? COVID-19, the great experiment. What is happening in our country, it is the great experiment. And you know, through that, it's giving us the opportunity to become willing to let go of our present state of mind so we become available for a greater awareness. And that really is the key, because if we keep thinking the way that we're thinking, as you said, in order that you keep doing what you're doing, you're always going to end up with the same results, okay? So we must have the courage to let go of the familiar and enter into the unfamiliar territory. And I really think that's what this is all really about. You know, because we're trying to handle it from a familiar standpoint. This is how we normally handle these things. But we got to be willing to enter into unfamiliar territory. So it's written, again, in Science Mind magazine, a daily reading of Science Mind. It says, we are here to move from glory to glory. I love that, okay? In Genesis 12:1, we read the verse which is the theme of this particular lesson, and let me just cut to that, okay? Yes, so the Lord said to Abram, and you've heard me use this Bible verse before, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and get to the land that I will show you, okay? So, in other words, leave your present state of consciousness and its family of old ways of thinking and believing and go where the Holy Spirit guides you. So that's what this is all about. So, Joel Goldstein, is it Goldstein?
Goldsmith.
Goldsmith, thank you. Joel Goldsmith's books, he talks about the fact that when nothing's going on, we just kind of go about our lives all, you know, willy-nilly, as the kid said on a TV show, right? We just all willy-nilly. It's like life is good, all right? And we're not even really thinking about growing spiritually. It's when stuff happens. And the fact that it is happening globally in terms of the pandemic or the, what did I say it was? The, global pause. Yeah, thank you. You know, in terms of the global pause, and, you know, I like that. You know, we are in a global pause because now it gives us time to think about what's going on. However, the Holy Spirit cannot move you from your land. He said, you know, move from your land to the land I will show you. The Holy Spirit cannot move you until you are ready to be moved. So from the perspective of transformation, it is our quest through prayer to reposition ourselves into a state of mind where we're always ready to move in an instant, okay, from glory to glory, all right? I mean, you said it again, right? So it is our quest through prayer to reposition ourselves into a state of mind where we are always ready to be moved in an instant from glory to glory. And this is when the Holy Spirit directs us. All right? Now, glory being, when I say glory to glory, glory being, and this is from the revealing word, glory being the realization of unity with the divine by blending our mind with God mind. And how does this happen? This happens through prayer. And yes, I do know that this is easier said than done. I know it's easier said than done because, you know, it's easier for me to say it than to do it. And so I know that this is easier said than done. And quite often some of our, you know, challenges may require the assistance of maybe some professional help or just, you know, some honest sharing in a support group. You know, I know all of us are struggling in one way or another, okay? And not, you know, just not our congregations, but ministers as well are struggling with this, you know, some of these many dynamics that we're going through. So, like I said, you know, you might need to go to some professional counseling or just have a good support group where you can just really share from your heart how you feel about, you know, what's going on right now. But much of our hesitation to move from a fearful place to unification with God is a result of the, you know, familiarity that we, you know, we did not realize, we weren't aware of the fact that this calling was happening within us. We didn't know that the Holy Spirit was calling us to leave this country, meaning this state of consciousness, this old fearful mindset, and go to the place, you know, the land that the Lord will show you. And if you have made the commitment to be on the spiritual path, and listen to what I'm saying, if you've made the commitment to be on a spiritual path, it's important to realize that you're always being called to move from where you are in consciousness towards where you are being called to be by the Lord of your being, okay? And I think most of us are conscious of the Lord of our being. We're conscious of the fact that we feel this calling to move to a higher state of consciousness, okay? To look at what's happening in a different way. And you will hear the calling when you take the time to practice mindful listening for the calling. The calling which says, leave your present state of consciousness and go to the level of consciousness that I will show you. Okay, so from a spiritual standpoint, from a practical standpoint, if you find you are sort of drowning in the mindset of this time, which is completely understandable, all right, we're not saying it's not, it's important to come to the realization that fear cannot beget love. Fear cannot beget healing. Fear will not allow you to enter into a state of mind necessary to be able to earnestly pray for all those who need your prayer help. So that's why you say, well, you know, why do I need to move out? I still, you know, want to be in this state of angst that I'm in right now about what's going on. But we're saying as essential light workers, our job is to let ourselves be moved out of that consciousness. Does that make sense? Okay, so as essential light workers, we're saying, I need the help so I can move into that place where I can have a mindset that I can earnestly pray prayers for those people who need my help, okay, who need that prayer help. So you must be willing to enter into the land, the state of consciousness, that knows that peace and love, the peace and love of God, that surpasses all understanding, all right? Now, you've heard me say that verse a million times, the love of God that surpasses all understanding. But we have to understand that in times like this, that's the kind of peace we need, the peace that surpasses all understanding, even almost our own. And notice I did not say anything about being called away from the outer events or circumstances or people that may be contributing to the anxiety that you may be feeling. I didn't say about leaving that, okay? So the thing is we want to do is, what I'm saying is from the perspective of working intimately with the Holy Spirit, you want to obey the inner calling to move to the land or the consciousness in which the peace and love of God resides, regardless of the outer circumstances. And I almost hesitate to use this, but remember Jesus says, I am in the world, but I'm not of it. So that's why when people came to him for healing, because he was not, he didn't fall into the illusion of the sickness, he was able to do the prayer that brought about healing. I don't know if I said that in a way to make sense, okay? So we are going to be in the world, and we are going to be affected by it. But we want to also remember that our job as essential light workers is to move into that consciousness where we can really pray the prayer that will be helpful. So this is the only way you can be essential light workers whose purpose for being here is to raise consciousness to the place where we honor the Christ within each other. And as Eric Butterworth shared, this is the only way you can pray aright, okay? Not pray begging, but pray knowing. Not pray fearfully, but pray with the courage and the inner knowing, the faith that your prayer is going out and having a positive influence. Eric Butterworth also said, prayer is not a position, it is a disposition. It is not asking, it is knowing. It is not words, it is a feeling. And that's what Greg Braden talks a lot about with the prayers of the ancients, why they were so powerful. Because they prayed with feeling, knowing that their prayers were already answered before they even got any results. So with all that is happening in the world and in our country right now, you know, I do not say these things lightly, okay? Because I know that many of us are struggling with what's going on. As I shared, even us ministers are struggling with what's going on. So I don't say these things lightly. However, in our work of becoming essential light workers, again, whose purpose for being here is to raise consciousness to the place where we honor the Christ within each other, we must first enter into the place of the peace of the Lord ourselves before we can step out and really help others. So it's only from this perspective that we can, you know, react and realize the, you know, the level of prayer or affect the level of prayer, real prayer, prayer that can really change the level of the human soul. That's the kind of prayer that we want to pray. Not just, like, we want the prayer that really, let me say it again, changes folks at the level of the human soul. And it is written in 2 Thessalonians 3:16 that Paul, knowing that people were struggling with challenging issues in their lives, he said to them, now may the peace of the Lord himself give you peace in all times and in all ways. The Lord be with you always. And that is the level of consciousness that we're striving for, one in which we remain consciously aware that the peace of the Lord, or the Lord of peace, is with us always, calling us to leave where we are, all right, and enter to the land of peace. However, it takes a real, you know, dedicated strength and courage to leave your country, meaning your present state of mind, your people and your father's house, meaning your family of familiar thoughts and feelings, and go to the land that God will show you. It's amazing how even though, you know, where we are now in consciousness can be so, you know, filled with challenging situations, the pull of the familiar, our family of thoughts, makes it so difficult to spiritually move on, okay? So Yes, you know, we are feeling some angst about what is happening in the world right now and in our lives. But those are familiar feelings. To move to this other place that God is calling us to is not yet familiar. But I can tell you that once you have tasted it, it's sort of like, remember the woman reached through the crowd and touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and she was healed. So once you touch the hem of this place of peace, you will, you know, want more of it. But we must, you know, become willing to move on, because the self that is troubled cannot be the same self that can affect positive, compassionate change. The self that is troubled cannot, you know, affect positive, compassionate change. You know, so Jesus explains that the reason for this, you know, is in John 3:5. Let me just cut to that. Okay, he says, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Now, this is how you do it. He says, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and spirit, because flesh gives birth to flesh. In other words, fear gives birth to fear, all right? But the spirit gives birth to spirit, okay? And that's what the idea is. The self that is troubled, the self that is challenged, the self that is in any way not at peace, is a self that is born of the flesh. So the only thing it knows is trouble, challenge, and unrest. And even in its joy and happiness, this joy and happiness are fragile, because the nature of that joy and happiness is dependent on the circumstances, right? So, you know, when we're all upbeat and excited and things are good and wonderful, something different happens, and all that joy and happiness goes out the window. That's flesh begets flesh, okay? This is a self we're being called to move on from, because that self cannot be other than what it is, and it cannot create other than what it is. You hear that? So as Jesus said, no one can see the kingdom. I'm sorry. Thank you. Okay. That's why I need Pamela there to tell me to move on. So no one can see the kingdom. So Jesus said, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again, because only the spirit gives birth to spirit. And so what makes leaving our present state of mind so difficult, you know, is that idea. You ever think about the fact that the spiritual practice of knowing God, and I like this, the spiritual practice of knowing God's power and presence in our lives, does not hold as much clout with us as the emotional practice of worry, fear, and anxiety about the circumstances and people in our lives. We can worry and fear with gusto, okay? Fully engage all of our senses. But knowing that the power and presence of God is always active in our life and provides our, you know, in our life and affairs, it provides us with a lot less emotion than being upset. Or think about how being, you know, able to look deeply into the eyes of someone who is challenging your peace with peace and look at them with eyes of gentle compassion. To us, that could be far less stimulating than going toe-to-toe with that person. You see what I'm saying? That old self has this way of dealing with things that we are striving to move from. So the idea behind this lesson, you know, is, you know, in the midst of what is happening in the world, we want to try to uncover and how to change that about ourselves that is more attracted to fear than it is to love. And to provoke us to ask ourselves a question: do I really want to change that about myself? You know, how do we increase our spiritual knowing and decrease our emotional worrying? That's the key. How do we increase our spiritual knowing and decrease our emotional worrying? As John the Baptist put it in John 3:30, he said, he, the Christ self, must increase, and, you know, the worrying, fearful self must decrease. So that's sort of the path that we're looking at. So how do we reach this ideal state of mind that is free of fear and worry? And to shed some light on this, you know, listen to this thought from the book, Oh, The Power of Awareness by Neville. Let me just switch to that. Yeah. So he says, you know a thing mentally or intellectually by looking at it from the outside, by comparing it with other things, by analyzing it and defining it, by thinking of it, whereas you can only know the thing spiritually by becoming, only by thinking from it, okay? You must become the thing itself and not merely talk about it, okay? So we have a tendency to sort of flout our, to brag, to use with pompousness what we know, all right? But what he's saying is that it's not about what you know, it's what you have become. That you have really, you know, this ideas that you have really become who you are at this point. So using Paul's explanation of love, love is patient and kind, while that which is which merely expresses love, as opposed to being love, okay, so let me say it again. So, you know, love is patient and kind, while that which merely expresses love, as opposed to being love, sometimes is and sometimes is not patient and kind, okay? And that which love, you know, that which is love is never jealous, never boastful, never, you know, arrogant or rude, while that which merely expresses love does have those emotions or those moments when it chooses to be jealous, boastful, arrogant, rude, all right? So the big difference between expressing a spiritual idea and actually becoming the spiritual idea. Isn't it Shakespeare who said that and made the statement, to be or not to be? That is the question. So from the perspective of our spiritual journey, the question we are constantly asking ourselves is, to be spiritual or not be spiritual? To be patient and kind, understanding, or not be patient and kind and understanding? That is the question, okay? And Neville continues by saying, the ideal you have set for yourself is to become more spiritual than intellectual. You must become the ideal that you seek. And how often have you said to yourself something like, you know, I need to have more patience. I need to be kinder. I need to be more considerate, more compassionate, more understanding with this person or situation. You know, have you ever said that to yourself? Okay. Now, I know I've said that to myself. So from a spiritual perspective, we must learn to turn within and strive towards prayer to become the very essence of love itself. Not just one person situation. You know, that's what the intellect does. The intellect says, well, I'm very, you know, kind and patient with, you know, and they'll name the people. We'll name the people who we're patient and kind with. And then we'll name the people who are not patient and kind with, okay? That's not what we're striving for. That's the way the intellect works. All right, the intellect fine-tunes itself and deals with particular kinds of situations and people in very finite ways. But your spirit, your Christ, that within you, which is the Lord of peace, leads you to realize, I am perfect love. I am perfect kindness and compassion. That's where we're looking to get to. But it's only by knowing that you are the spiritual ideal that you yearn to be that you will be capable of being the love that bears all things, believes all things, hopes, and endures all things. Otherwise, intellectually, you'll always be able to rationalize and justify why at times you cannot bear, believe, hope, and endure. And yes, I agree. Again, I agree that shifting consciousness from ego to Christ, from fear to love, is by no means an easy process. Not at all. Okay. When I read some of the works of the great mystics who talk about this, they talk about meditating for days on end. You know, we don't have time for that. That's what we'll say. We don't have time for that. But they talk about, you know, deep, earnest engagement in prayer. When we used to bring the 12 different religions to the college, 12 different clergy, spiritual leaders, yeah, to the church. I remember talking to the Buddhist, and he says, meditation is one of the hardest things to do, you know, to really engage yourself in that process of mindfulness. He said it's something you have to really be committed to in order to get yourself into that space. So, you know, I'm going to end with this thought from Jesus recorded in Luke 18:8. Okay. It says, pray always and do not lose heart, God will grant justice to you, his chosen one, who pray to him day and night. He will not delay in helping you. I tell you, God will quickly grant you whatever you ask in prayer. And so it is. Amen. Thank you.
Let's prepare now for our meditation. Let us center ourselves and prepare for our quiet time with Spirit. You may close your eyes, place your feet on the floor flat, and think about straightening your spine. We begin by taking in 3 deep cleansing breaths. Breathe in and out. Breathe in and out. Once again, deeply in and slowly out. Continue with your rhythmic breathing and let us acknowledge the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit active in our lives and affairs, our nation and our world. We decree our oneness with this power as we each have been made in the image and likeness of God. We are all God's children and heirs to God's kingdom. Gracious Spirit, we come together in unity and before you this morning in our time of need. We seek to be lifted up to be a part of the solution to all the unrest and injustice we are seeing in our country. Touch our hearts this day with your assurance, your love, your faith, and let us know that you are our hiding place. Give us divine strength and resilience so we can feel your power of protection and safety as we navigate our feelings of sadness, anger, and disappointment. I know that when I am sad, upset, or angry with the events in our world, I know too that joy comes in the morning. Instill in us the divine wisdom to remember we are never alone because you are closer to us than the very air that we breathe. I ask you that you take these words as your very own. Yes, Lord, you are my hiding place, a place of peace, love, joy, and faith. I am stronger than all my fears, and so I turn within in peace to know that all is well. Please help my unbelief. And let us go into the silence for a few moments. Take with you your prayers and know that they will be answered. We thank you, gracious Spirit, that you have heard our prayers and you have answered them as you always do. This is a new day that you have made, Lord, and we rejoice and we are glad in it. Thank you in the name and nature of our elder brother and way-shower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is. Come back now to your surroundings and know in your heart that the Unity Center of Light is always here for you.
Thank you, hon. So this is a time that we joyfully open our hearts to bless all of the wonderful offerings that come into us, open our hearts to all of the joy and the good that comes to us in the midst of all the other things that are happening. I think it's a good time for us to always remember the good in our lives and how those things, how all of that really balances out a lot of what was happening. But we are very thankful for all of the wonderful offerings you've been sending into the center. And again, you always can send those in by going to the website, unitycenterlight.org, and clicking on the donate button. You can use PayPal. You can send a check. And we do have a Tithely Act. Tell me, T-I-T-H-E.L-Y, if you like doing it that way. But let me just put this up, and let's do our offering blessing together. We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light. Amen.
Amen.
And also, light notes are always the same, okay? And that is, and I always say this too for people who might be tuning in for the very first time, that, you know, we're actually in a Zoom session showing this, and there's folks in Zoom, waiting to have discussion after this. And also, we're going to have a summer music Sunday. So we're going to be summer music. Great music is going to be, live music is going to be in this in the Zoom session as this is over. So please come and be with us in that. If you're not, if you're just on YouTube and you either got the weekly update, and from April, you have gotten the e-newsletter. Both of those have the link to get you into the Zoom session so you can be part of the music that we'll do that. And the fellowship and discussion, probably around the ideas that we talked about today. So please join and be with us. So let us end now by doing our prayer for protection together.
The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well.
And that's the truth. All right. Again, we will see you either in Zoom or we will see you online next Sunday. Have a good week.